You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 37. Now, because of the weather and that, and the importance of the Gospel of John in chapter 12 and verse 28, 29, etc. That's a wonderful thing to think about. So, and thus probably we'll just try something different this morning in the light of the snowstorm. And so we'll do that. We'll look to the Lord in prayer and God knows, if he comes, you don't have to worry about driving. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and thank you for everything. So set apart these moments and grant us, God, that which honors you, Spirit of God, that gives us the movement that comes in your direction with pleasure. God, that just is very thankful that we, each little heart, can stand in your presence comfortably. So God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the process of the storms, and the storms come, the wind blows, and the storms come and go. And when we're born on planet Earth, we're part of the system. In order for us to have life, in order for us to live, we have to, when we're born, we're going to have the life, the living on planet Earth, with all of its ins and outs and easy, its hard things and easy things, and all the growing up. And we need to find life, L-I-F-E, in the middle of living. Now, so, it man, in the light, and we can't stop the storms, we can't stop anything. It all rises and falls and comes and goes, and we can't get rid of it. We don't have a. And if you go down in the equator, it's one kind of thing. Up in the North Pole, it's another. But each of the locations on planet Earth have those conditions that are not easy. That's the way it is. So living is hard, but we can't get rid of the living. We're here. And the storms come and the storms go. Now, the key is, what do we do with them? What do we do with the storms? Now, one thing that people do when you have a lot of wind is you build a windmill. And the windmill takes advantage of the wind. And in the storms of life, we need to build windmills. We can't get rid of them. Nope, we're going to have to be able, in the midst of adversity, difficulty, we have to keep going, because after this storm there's another storm and another storm and another storm, and they don't end. So we need to try to find shelter, to try to avoid, but we don't want to do it wrongly. We don't want to retreat in our mind and heart in the wrong way, which we can't do anyway. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're out there, and the snowflakes are going to fall on you. And you have, no matter who you are, the snowflakes are going to fall down. And they're going to hit you, like it or not. Now, so in the light of that, maybe, perhaps, you would read with me, or follow with me, as here's Elihu speaking and helping, trying to help Job in his storm, physical storms, physical things and everything around him. And he has to face them. And each of his friends try to help. And here's Elihu. And now, Job 37, if I may. And you will note, I'm going to read, starting in verse 1. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. And we're going to do that in John, actually. John is trying to help the people. God, you want us to be able to rightly be intelligent and hear intelligently God. That's correct. I want you to understand, to hear rightly God. Now that's what we're going to look at, because I'm not sure how much believers understand to listen to God and hear Him. Do you know how to do that? Do you know why to do that? So here we are. Here's Elihu, and he's there, back there in the days of Job, Abraham, all of that. And he's concerned as God is exercising his wonderful presence. And here's Job, and Elihu is looking at Job and trying to look at life around him. And here's the storm of storms, storms. Thus, verse 2. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not slay them when his voice is heard. That's why, remember, if you speak God, we're going to die. No, not necessarily. Verse 5. He thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, and likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He healeth up the hand of every man, sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his voice. God, you get our attention. Storms tend to get your attention. You may be, everything's cool, calm, and normal, but when the storm comes, it gets your attention. Aha. He sealeth up, verse 7, he sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remaineth in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the water is straightened, frozen. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. The cloud gets so heavy it has to dump the rain. He scattereth his bright cloud, thunder, lightning, and it is turned around about by his counsel, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world, upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for the land, or for his mercy. Hearkeneth unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Job, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at God, and God gets our attention with all kinds of storms for correction, for mercy, for the land, for the benefits. God, you do what you do. God, you do. Wow. So God, here with all the storms of life, and man, among other things, can build a windmill and take advantage of the wind. You can't get rid of the wind. Take advantage of it. Learn how to take advantage of normal living by having life. How so? Thus, as we seek to have that advantage, God, we want to have it in the midst of everything. So let's go, if we can, over to Romans and chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8. We're trying to have the advantage and in Romans in chapter 8, picking up if I may, remember now, verse 26 and 27, the Spirit of God in the believing heart is His wonderful business, is to know the will of God, to know how to outwork that will in a human heart, and to bring to bear all the benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of those benefits, to bring them to bear upon us on behalf of the Father. So God the Father is honored in it all. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to do this, and that's what He intercedes. I don't know how to do what, when, where. God, the body belongs to you, Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. So now, having said that, in verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's right, not according to what our feelings are, not according to family, friends, fear, job, home, work, health, wealth. Nope. It's the will of God. Just think if we just did grace in Sunday school. The awesome word, grace. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, then, that with that in mind, you come to verse 28. The Spirit of God, you're going to work everything to the will of God. That's right. So we know that all, A-L-L, things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So the believing heart that's looking to God and wants God's will knows it's going to be for good. That's what you know. You want God's will in your life, for your life. In living, you want life. That's right. So you're looking to God to outwork that in a most wonderful way. And God is going to do that according to His will, according to His will. And that's what you want. If you want that, God is going to do it. We love Him. We love God. And God, we want. And what does love mean? God loves us. What's that mean? Well, we're going to let God love us. Love is the giving of oneself. Giving of oneself to the object loved, so that the object loved can have the benefit of the person who's loving. God, you're giving your wonderful presence. Easy. God so loved the world that He what? Gave. God gave. God's giving Himself. And when you want God's wonderful will for your life, and we love. I love God. We love Him because He first loved us. God, I want Your will. I love You. That's what I want. However, whenever, whatever, God, that's what I want. However you want to do it. So we know that all things work together for good. The good, the inside good. That God is the standard of good. The good, that which is to be awesomely admired, etc. Now, everything's working together for good. Now, and remember, now, when you say that and think of the grace we just did, and don't have to turn there, you're right there. How about that? Romans 7, right next door. Romans 7. And, picking up if I may, in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, said Paul, dwelleth no good thing. There's the same word. No good thing. For to will what I will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I will this, I will it. I will it. I want it. I want it yet. God, I want it. But we don't get what we want, even when we think good and want good. got back to grace. God gives it in His grace, totally indifferent, not indifferent, totally you don't include, God doesn't include you in any way, shape, or form for everything He does. He gives it to you. Grace, wonderful grace, as we shared. Now, in the light of that, God, you're going to do this wonderful thing. Paul said, in my heart, Romans 7:18, in my heart dwelleth no good. I will it, I want. But what I want isn't going to come out. It's what you want. Remember our Lord said to Joshua, or the idea, I'm captain of the Lord of hosts. I don't work for you, Joshua. I don't work for your enemies. I don't work for anybody. I work for God. I do what God wants. It's God's creation, God's redemption. God does it. So it isn't anything to do. It isn't anything to do with your wishes and desire. God, you have all of that included, absolutely. But it isn't up to will. So Paul said, there's no good. I can't produce the good. God works all things together for good. Same word. Over to Romans 12. Well, you're still in Romans. Romans in chapter 12, in the light of God's will. I'll read verse 1. Remember, summing up all of those 11 chapters. I beseech you, chapter 12, Romans, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, living, not dead, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, rational, logical service. It's a logical thing to do, since it belongs to Him. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't get caught up in this world system. That's what happens. People get caught up. Believers get caught up in it, and they're trying to, they want the cake and eat it. You can't do that. God condemned the world. And so now, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how so? By the renewing of your mind. Your whole thought process is changed. By the renewing of mind, for what reason? What reason? Why am I going to think differently? That, in order that, I may, we may, ye may prove, put to the test, what is the good, there's your little word, and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. That's what you want. I want the will of God. That's correct. No matter how you cut the cookie, we come back to it. God, that's what you want. But I have my dreams, my wishes, what I want. I want to fit in. Forget it. You want to have a happy, healthy, heavenly relationship to God. All things work together for good. And then you could take, if you did, well, you aren't far away while we're doing it. Over to Philippians. See, so all things work together for good. And Philippians, if I can, chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. May I go directly, as you know, to verse 6, Philippians 1:6. Being confident, very confident, bold, very comfortable, boldly. Being confident of this very thing, what is that? That He which hath begun, there's your little word, a good, what kind of work? A good work, where? In you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When did that, the day you came to know the Lord as your Savior, is the day that God, in Christ, made possible all of that good. All of God's good will. The day you got saved. So if you're going to say, well, when, God, when do I start? It started the day you came to know the Lord as your Savior. What have you done with it since? How's that? What have you done since God started a good work in you to outwork His will? You say, well, I'm going to think about it. No, If you got saved, he started it. Now, are you letting it continue or are you not? Simple. Nothing to it. And thus, he that hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God, we're looking to you. Again, over to Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 2. And if I may, pick up the same little word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, not by works, 2 and 9, not by works, lest any man should boast, which we aren't able to do. For, why? For we are his workmanship, all of God and not of us, created, where? In Christ Jesus, new creatures, unto good works, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, the good. All things work together for good. When you got saved, that was the beginning of God's good. He died to save you before the foundation of the world. He made a commitment to save you. He did that. So when you got saved, that was his will to save whosoever would believe. And we got saved. And when we get saved, God, you see us way back before there's anything. No angels even. There we are in your mind and heart. Now, God, and when you see us then, did you see us already next week? I see the whole thing, said God. All at once. That's right. Now, all of that good, it's good. The goodness of God leadeth us to, Romans 2, to repentance. So we're looking to you, God. That's right. And in looking to you, what is going to happen? Well, as I look to you, I'm going to see that good outworked that you already have in mind. All things work together for good. Not my good, your good. All that you have. So the storms, I'm on planet Earth. The sin, Adam. Adam started it, Eve, and here we are, and we all contribute to it. The humans are the world system the devil uses for worldliness and everything. So now, here we are, and God, you have a wonderful, wonderful plan for us before the foundation of the world. Now, if we could just grab that, that would be something, wouldn't it? You say, well, I'm retired, or I'm doing my job, and I'm waiting to something, and I'm hoping for this, and I'm waiting for that. On planet Earth, in the light of our living. But more important and more awesome is in our living, we're supposed to have life. And that life is chock full of all of God's goodness that you have for us before the foundation of the world. Well, say, I don't see any good in my life. Look at my life, you know, do whatever. No, God, when you receive Christ as your Savior, that was good. When you receive Christ as your Savior, that is God. And God blessed you with himself. That's good. That's awesome. Wow, we're part of that. His body. That's right. Now, God, we want your will outworked. What you have in mind. You saved us, died for us. Otherwise, we're aliens. We're illegal. We don't fit. We don't fit in. So, God, here we are looking. And all that you're doing is for your glory and honor. That's right. All that I'm doing. So now, in the light of that, back over, if you would, to Romans. So we tie that together. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, keeping in mind that God is working all things together to the believing heart, and not for anything that we can see, for all that God sees. And what's changing in your life? Well, my work is the same, boring or exciting. My health is the same. I take 33 pain pills and 10 tranquilizers, and here we are. My life's the same. I have to do the same stuff every day. Every day. And I'm full of everything with problems. And the more I live, it isn't going to go away. Wow. More. No, God, it isn't about that. It isn't about getting good that way. That's what Israel wanted good materially. They wanted to have fields and animals and fruit and harvest. That isn't for us. Our blessings, in Ephesians, when you don't have to turn there. Our blessings, Ephesians 1:3, are what? Not earthly, but what? Heavenly. Israel's earthly. Yours, if you're saved, is heavenly. It's not earthly. God's providing for earth, to here. Heavenly. How? He's providing here, from there, heavenly. Wow. And you're doing that. That's right. Now, so what am I looking for, God? Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like his Son. We shall see him as he is, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them also he called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And therefore, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, God, what are you after? Changing your heart and life. The storms, what are we looking for? We're looking for a change in our thinking, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're looking for a change in our understanding. It isn't our purpose to go to Joe's sweatshop and work 10 years and retire and own a car and die. It isn't about that. It isn't about, well, I'm married, I got 3 children, great-grandchildren, and I'm going to die. No, it isn't about that. Nope. It's about God changing your heart. And that's what God did with Job, isn't it? The wonderful thing that God did. Say, what did Job ever get? Well, he got everything doubled. But that wasn't the blessing. The blessing was, he said, I am an unclean lips. I can't believe, God, that you are so wonderful. See? That's what it's about. So, God, what are you going to do? You're going to help and change us. So what am I looking for today? In the snowflakes, whatever you're doing, you're looking for God in the things of life, windmills to use the wind. You're taking advantage of life's activity, fears, frustrations, faults. You're looking to what? Take advantage in a wonderful God who cares. Who cares? Build the windmill to take advantage of the wind. You can't make it go away, so use it. That's what our Lord did, didn't he, on Hebrews 12 and 2. He counted it joy as he marched up the hill, put down the cross, they nailed them on it, and boom, thump into the ground, the cross goes, wow. He counted it all joy. That's what he did. He could have said, oh, woe is me. No, he said that as we shared in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said that. But he said, I've determined not my will, but what? Thy will, God. Thy will. Who said that? Jesus Christ said, thy will. Why couldn't you say your will? No, it's your will, God. Not my will. Your will. Wow. That's the believing heart, to have all of the benefit of that. And the Lord had it, so he counted it joy. So all of the horror, as we shared last time, the horror of the cross, terrible horror, came out triumphant. It was all right. It was for the glory of God. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. They aren't good, but they work together for good. And what kind of good? For God to do a wonderful work in your heart and in your life. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over. We'll do it. Over to Luke. Luke. Luke in chapter 22. Luke in 22. Chapter 22 of Luke, going to verse 19. Our Lord. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, that has to do with his death on the cross and our exercising, remembering that by communion. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Colossians. And in Colossians, and chapter 3. God, that's what you did. You received the all the way to the cross. You endured the cross, despising the shame. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, that's us, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever you're going to do, in outworking everything, you're going to understand our Lord countered it all. The worst thing that could ever happen to anybody was His death on the cross. Necessary. Now, so God, and here we are looking to you, and we're able to understand what? In whatever we do, all things work together for good. Whatever we're going to do, whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it with thanksgiving to you and to our Heavenly Father. Over, if you would, chapter 1 of Colossians. We're going to do that. We're going to do it with whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it to the glory of God. And Colossians 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all, this is the prayer, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God, you have made it possible for us to participate in your wonderful, wonderful work. And verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us where? Unto the kingdom of His dear Son. So God, you have done something wonderful. You have taken us outside and put us inside, and we're to understand we're separated unto you for all of your goodwill. That's what we're looking for. And in the process, our Lord, counted on it. And how, what are we going to do? We're going to count on it. And thus, in 1 Thessalonians 5, you don't have to turn there, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and then in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. You have to think about that? In everything give thanks. Ephesians. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks, again, always for all things. To whom? God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because all things work together for what? For good. So what are we going to do? Give thanks in everything? Easy, hard, much, little, terrible, boring, exciting, hurting, whatever. Giving thanks. Well, what's there to thank God for today? See? And you do it. No? You practice it. It's God's will. That's how we face the storms. That's how we face the trouble, the turmoil, by looking to you, God, for your goodwill. It isn't our will. Family, friends, job, wife, husband, child, what difference does it make? It isn't about that. It's about you. All the rest of it, and I think about it, all the rest of it is going to, what's going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be with him. Now tell me what human relationship you have right now that is going to be important when he does that. Find me a human relationship. You can't. You can't do it. They're all gone. They're all gone. Wonderfully gone. We're translated. I'm going to take you from here to there. And remember Isaiah and that? You will never remember anything. It's all gone. Wow. Wow. God, so here we are. Here we are looking to you. And therefore, God, you're going to have to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts and help us understand. And thus, if I can, I'll read a scripture in closing. Over to Romans and chapter 5. It's all about God changing our lives, our thinking. If I may, Romans 5. Therefore, being just, well, I'm going to fast for time's sake. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand in this grace and rejoice in the hope of what? The glory of God, all things working together for good. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, it doesn't matter. Tribulations, testing, pressure, squeezing. Also, tribulation, being put to the test, knowing how tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Bearing up under the load, verse 4, produces experience. You can't learn unless you went through it. You stumble through it. You stumble through each thing, and each thing you learn a little, trust a little, and change. We're changing. We're learning. An experience, bearing of going exercise, produces hope, a wonderful expectancy of the next hour, the next storm, the next day. Then hope maketh not ashamed. Why aren't we ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and the love of God says all things work together for good. That's what. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? Well, no matter what it is, and by the Holy Ghost, it isn't up to you or me to make it happen. God makes it happen. As you trust him and learn, God makes the trial, the storm, the test practical and changes your life, you see. And you have all those little things. You have them all the time. I have them. It's a silly thing, actually. I was taking a cup of coffee because I didn't have time to get it this morning. And I was taking it and I was going to go and I put it down over here on the little shelf, and I put it there, a cup, and I had to do something, and I said, boy, I better do that, and then I went to turn out the light, and I didn't realize the cup was near the switch, so I hit the cup, and all over the floor and the rug went the coffee. I said, I have to go, God. God said, not yet. So I went and got and cleaned it up so Jeanette would never know. Doesn't that happen to you sometime? And that's very minor. All the other things, that's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how it becomes real. That's what we're going to do, Lord willing, if we don't have a storm. Learn how to listen to God and hear Him speak. Do you know how to do that? Wow. Wonderful. Anyway, because of the storm, we're stopping 5 minutes ahead. God knows this evening. God knows. And you have to use your good common sense, you know. We live right here, so there's nothing to it. And I even thought of it last night when I was laying in bed. I said, now, what are we going to do if the storm? And I have to see, I have to go and have them get some blankets, and you can all relax in the building. It's warm. And then I'm going to have someone with a nice truck. We're going to go down and get all the food you need and come back with food and whatever you need. And you're just going to relax in this little sanctuary and till the storm goes by. That was my dream. Wow. I didn't know what I ordered for food yet. See. Anyway, God knows. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, here we are. Thank you that we could be together, God. We don't want to miss out. God, the storm's there. The windmill's there. God, it's up to us to take advantage of all of it, to understand how to take advantage of all of it by looking to you and understanding what you have made possible in our little heart to change, to see it from your window, to look to you, to understand that we might be transformed by in the renewing of our mind. And our God, we're going to thank you for all that you're doing. Give safety, carefulness, God, your wonderful will. Thank you very, very much for our country, for Israel, all the way with all the nations, with all the believers in very dangerous and difficult places in all over the world. God, here we are in our little place. So God, deal with us. And God, we do not be remiss in not remembering all these across the earth. And our God, we're looking to you. Thank you very much for being right here, right now, for all of your goodwill. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. We're going to sing, I guess. What should we sing? Thank you, Lord. We'll sing Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll sing that, and then drive carefully, walk carefully. Make sure you clean your windows. Don't try to drive when you can't see out the window. Is that a good suggestion? Don't do that. And if you need some help in getting this